Blog Talk Radio.
This is Eduardo M. Fryer, and this is a brand spanking new episode of Keeping It Real. And you know what? I first want to start off by basically saying, I'm really happy today because I finally found a plushy Lockjaw. Yeah, the Inhumans TV show sucked, but you know what? Lockjaw is so cute and adorable, and ever since they announced the show, I wanted one. And thanks to Hot Topic and to the wonderfully hawk eyes of my beautiful wife, Patricia, I finally have one. So yeah, I'm on cloud nine today. But you know what? We're not talking about plushy Lockjaws, unfortunately. We're going to another sci-fi franchise, in this case, Star Wars, to review Solo, A Star Wars Story. And, well, you know what? Speaking of my wonderful, beautiful wife, Patricia, she is here with us now. Hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Once again, thank you for spotting that. Thank you so much. I have my plushy Lockjaw. I'm so happy now.
I'm glad you're happy.
Yep. And you know what? Tonight, for our review, we actually have a couple of special guests. With us from the Disneyverse podcast is, first of all, host of the Disneyverse podcast, Michael Beck. How you doing tonight, Michael?
I'm just mad that I didn't get called for the beautiful eyes as well. I thought I would have the most beautiful eyes in all of the land, but you know what? I'm doing okay.
Sorry, but you know what?
At least I didn't do a Mickey impersonation on this show like you did on mine.
Well, that's because mine is awesome. And actually, if you want to hear a really awesome Mickey impression that's even better than mine, we got to get my friend Matt Bendett on the Disneyverse podcast. We'll have to figure out a way to do that.
Yes.
But
yes.
There's another. Yep, we got another member of the Disneyverse podcast team, Victoria. Let me see if I get this correctly. Jakubowski. Did I get it?
Close enough. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. I know that everybody calls you Vicky. Do you mind if I call you Victoria? Only because my little sister's named Vicky, and I don't want to accidentally.
You can
like,
call me Victoria. It's just fine.
Okay. Thank you. God. You know what? God bless you for that. Because yeah. My little sister's named Vicky, and, you know, I just don't want to, like, all of a sudden, you know, snap at you being like, you know, and just, yeah, because that would be bad.
Well, I'm a big sister, so I can understand that behavior.
Okay, yeah. I mean, of course, I also call Vicky other names, like, thanks to my cousin George, we call her Pictorial, which I don't know where he got that, but I've used that a couple of times, and as she was younger, Vicky used to yell at me because it's like, that belongs to George. That belongs to the George. Get another one. But anyway, anywho. Solo, A Star Wars Story. Now, first off, always got to do this at the beginning of every show. Okay? We are going to be talking Solo, A Star Wars Story. There are going to be spoilers. Okay, so anybody listening right now, hopefully you've seen the movie, okay? Because you should know by now, if you're one of these people who listens to the show regularly, okay, we give you plenty of time to see the movie, all right? But once it's review time, all right, we're going to drop spoiler nukes like they're going out of style, okay? We're going to drop spoiler nukes like we bought them off Kim Jong-un's garage sale, okay? So, you know, if you haven't seen the movie by now, yep, we're gonna be dropped. You know, there's gonna be some spoiler territory. Now, I take it everybody here in the round table has seen the movie, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes. I know, Trish, I know you and I, we saw it together with the rest of the family in Eureka on Memorial Day weekend. And I'm guessing also that Michael, Victoria, that you guys saw it on your own with your own kin. So, okay. So, yeah, everybody's
yeah,
seen it.
Family,
it
was,
opening weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So, yeah, first off, I think first question to the group, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Love it, hate it, indifferent. Trish, why don't we start with you?
Oh, boy, I'm probably going to be the one opinion that, I don't know, I didn't really like it too much. I did want to see it again a second time, but we never got the opportunity to do it before doing the show. Because when we saw it in Eureka with our family, I'm not sure if the theater was, you know, if there's something wrong with the projector or not, but it was very dark. There were times where I couldn't see facial expressions, and I was, like, very frustrated with the lighting of the movie. But then I heard from another friend that it was actually a complaint in a lot of movie theaters, because apparently when they sent out the movie, they gave the movie theaters the wrong settings for the projector. And so a lot of theaters figured it out for themselves and adjusted the settings so that it was lighter, but some of them didn't. And so I wanted to see it again without the distraction of a dark screen, because I'm not sure if I can be very fair on this, but I mean, I guess I will say that parts of it were entertaining. I still have a hard time accepting that guy as Han Solo. Like, he could have really been any character in the Star Wars universe. As far as I'm concerned, it could have just been the guy that Chewie hung out with before he met Han, you know, and I would have been perfectly happy with that. So I don't know. I think I need to see it one more time to really give my honest opinion.
Okay. And Michael, Victoria, before I ask you guys your opinion, to start with, did either of you have any problems with the screen when you saw it?
I didn't. It was clear, and I didn't notice any odd issues. And actually, for once, it didn't seem like a dark movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump on that too. And you know, that's one of the things that I look for watching a movie, is I look for certain little type of nooks and crannies in the theater. Okay, you know, who's got the phones out, who's doing their irresponsible stuff, and then once everyone's kind of got the idea that's going on, then I'll start looking at the screen. And I mean, the screen looked good to me. It looked fine. It looked the sound was good. Everything just seemed to be fine. But I did read about that too, that there was a lot of complaints about the visual, and it just something when it was in midst of transporting, just did the codes weren't connected correctly or what have you. So
yeah. Although I do have to say that, I mean, okay, if somebody screwed up in transportation, put down the wrong numbers, that it's their bad. But I also kind of have to wonder, I mean, did the theaters not screen the movie before opening day or before preview day or whatever, you know, when they got it? Did they not, like, check on this stuff and go, I don't know, this doesn't seem right, and then either contact the distributor or maybe try to fix it themselves, and then, you know, afterwards go, hey, we had these great numbers. You know, the copy that you sent us, there seemed to be some problems with the lighting, so we kind of adjusted it, and it turned out fine. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, who kind of signed off and thought, okay, this is a little dark, but I don't know. I guess they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it might also be the way – I mean, because I have a friend that used to work in the movie theaters a long, long time ago, and they always – whenever they got a movie, they would always do a screening a couple of days before. So in case if there are some issues, they can get in touch with the studios or whoever they got in touch with, say, hey, listen – you know, this copy you gave us is not the correct copy, or the copy is not in condition that we like to have it for. So they can make an adjustment if they have to and get something out to the theaters right away. So I would think that they would continue that practice, just especially because it is a Star Wars movie. They want to make sure that they're ready to go and not have any hiccups at all. Exactly.
Yeah, back in the day when there were actual film as opposed to the now digital movies that usually come out, they actually did the screening because they wanted to make sure that the sound was in sync. They wanted to make sure there were no splice issues. They wanted to make sure it would roll smoothly. So it used to be the thing that if you worked in a theater a couple of days before, you got to see all the movies before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
When Billy worked at the movie theater, did that happen, Trish? Did he get to see some stuff early?
Yeah, for him, it wasn't a couple days before, but they would do a screening at midnight. It was before they actually did a lot of midnight movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so because the employees weren't technically allowed to see it before opening day, so they would have to wait till midnight. So they would just, wait until the last movie got out, and then, people would clean up, and then the other workers that weren't working would come in, and then they would all and you could bring your family too, or and friends if you wanted to, and we would all sit there and watch it at midnight. And
sweet.
Yeah, that's the way they did it for him. Oh yeah, it was cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, Trish did mention, she has mentioned the star of the film. Oh God, I'm trying to pronounce his name. It's like Aaron
Aldrin.
And Aldrin Henrik. Yeah. You already mentioned, Trish, that you couldn't believe, you couldn't find him believable as Han Solo.
Nope.
I got to admit that when we saw the first teaser for it, that I didn't automatically get roped in, but I thought his performance, I did like his performance. I mean, he didn't come off as Han Solo, but there were Han Solo-esque kind of traits in some of his delivery. And I also, after that first teaser, I also kind of reminded myself, this is his origin story. This is him at the start of his smuggling career. This is him before. So not everything's going to be, not everything's going to be like the way that you pictured being with Han Solo. And, not to mention the fact that, if he really, if the actor was really to pull this off, he couldn't just follow every single beat that Harrison Ford had, I wouldn't want anybody to do that. I mean, what do you,
Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford is a guy you can't,
Vicky? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always hard when you're doing, for lack of a better word, a prequel, and you're playing someone, especially when it's an iconic character, an iconic actor, coming in and stepping into the feat. That is a hard task to do, and very few people have done it truly successfully.
Yep. I mean, we even look, even forget just prequel. There have been a bunch of franchises where they've changed actors and they've rebooted, and look at James Bond, who's been through five actors, and each brings their own different thing. No one is exactly like Connery. Connery is not reflected in someone like Roger Moore. It's something that,
and Connery was nothing like the book. So
yeah, there you go. You even have the books that proceeded to look for. I do give him a little bit of a break, because you can't just copy what came before, not to mention also that, again, prequels, so some of the things may not be there yet.
And that's kind of how I
overall
looked at it too, because I felt that there were qualities he had that clearly he had studied some of Harrison Ford's movements in the original trilogy, but then he had to make it his own because he didn't want to do a caricature. And you're right, this is before he was, the hardened smuggler who shoots first.
Yeah, exactly. Funny enough, we did get that, though. We did get him shooting first.
Yes, we did.
And yeah, this was him definitively shooting first. It's okay for Han Solo to shoot first, okay, George Lucas? We're okay with it. We have no problems with Han shooting first. Okay, we don't think of him as an awful person if he shoots first. Besides, Greedo's a fucking wuss. We don't care if he dies. What? Does anybody feel sorry for Greedo? Seriously, does anyone here feel sorry
Greedo's
for Greedo?
Greedo's a pussy.
There you go. See? Okay, anybody out there listening to this, if you disagree and you're like, man, poor Greedo, remember our phone number is always 646-668-2231. Okay, if you want to defend Greedo, please, come on in. Honestly, I don't mind. In fact, I would love to hear that. I would love to hear somebody come in the middle of our review for the Han Solo prequel and say, no, actually, it's good that George Lucas changed it because, you know, poor Greedo, man. Somehow I don't know. Somehow I don't think that would happen, but yeah.
I don't think it will either.
But we did, though. One thing, though. Now, question. I know that Trish has not, you know, she really didn't do, like, the spinoff stuff, like the novels and things like that. What about you guys, Michael, Victoria? Did you ever do any of, like, I know that Han did get his own spinoff novels, like, you know, in the old expanded universe stuff. Did you read any of that?
Didn't really read any of that, although watching Harrison Ford's reaction to the Star Wars Holiday Spectacular on YouTube from Conan O'Brien several years ago was pretty amazingly funny. But I did not see that, but I did. Oh my God! You got to look up on YouTube just his reaction to, his reaction to this whole. You know, now we have a clip from a, you know, your Holiday Spectacular, and Harrison Ford's like, no, you don't. He just was denying it the whole way. It is one of the worst. Oh my God! You better not. But I did, but as far as reading the book, no, I did not read it. But I do know there was a lot of the novels. There was a lot of the spinoffs from that.
Yeah. Well,
I read
some of the early books. Yeah.
And I liked what they did with the early books, so I'm a little on the fence on changing some of the canon and erasing some of the early books. I realized Lucas didn't write them, but he did sanction them. And so it kind of is hard when it's like, I've known this storyline for 30 years, and now you're going to go and change it, really?
Yeah. George Lucas licensing something? That doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well,
he gave his blessing. And he let them do it.
Yeah, it may. Well, I think it's, you know, I don't know if he himself was like, yes, I'm licensing this. He may have just said, okay. And then, you know, the rest of the board at Lucasfilm were
like,
okay. Yeah, you know, something like that. I mean, the only reason I ask is because, I've read some of the stories and I've been familiar with, like, others. So there were things that I recognized in the movie. As like, oh, okay, that, you know, they did keep that, you know, such as Han Solo's background being in the Imperial Navy before he became a smuggler. They kept that. The fact that he was, you know, still there when he met Chewie. So he basically just, you know, once he met Chewie, he was like, all right, I'm out. So, you know, they did keep that. Something, though, another piece that we did get from this movie about his early life, we did get introduced to Kira, an old girlfriend played by Emilia Clarke of Game of Thrones fame. What did you all think about, you know, about the character, like about Kira in the film?
The character,
I think it was a good fit.
Fine.
Okay. Okay. The character's fine.
Everything I've seen her in, I've been kind of like, she doesn't seem very deep, and the character seems very superficial, but maybe that's the way the character they want it to be.
Hmm. Okay. Michael, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a certain character that she had to play, and that was, you know, she was in love with Han Solo. She was in love with him incredibly. She didn't want him to kind of go down this path, and they kind of set that stage up rather early during the movie. And then later on, she kind of in the movie, you saw her get a little bit more, I guess you could say the word ballsy, and kind of put her neck out there. But then at the very end, we all know what happens at the very, very end when it turns out that she's working for someone entirely different. So.
Right.
Yeah. 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 It's like when we first, we get introduced to Kira, and then we also, Trish, I know that you and I got a surprise because we do see the two of them working for, we do see like Han and Kira are kind of working for, you know, sort of a little, this weird alien kind of crime boss thing. But I know that the person who did the voice, you know, someone that we're kind of fans of, who did we end up getting like in a surprise voice role?
I don't remember, Eddie.
Yeah, it was. Well, I think we found out later on it was Linda Hunt of NCIS LA fame, and also Disney fame, Grandma Willow from Pocahontas. So yeah, I just remember we found that out, and we were both surprised. It was like we were both looking at each other like, she sounds familiar, and then we looked it up and we're like, oh shit, it's Linda Hunt. And then, but yeah, the more important one, because I mean, Linda Hunt's character was kind of high and by, you know, just like, oh, geez, you know, this is what Han and Kira had to live with. Wow, no wonder they wanted to leave. But later on, Han, not only does he get introduced to Chewie, but we get Woody Harrelson's character, Tobias Beckett. What did you guys think of Woody Harrelson? Trish.
I don't know. I always have a hard time with Woody Harrelson in roles because, to me, he's always Woody from Cheers. And it's hard for me to see him in other roles because I'll admit I haven't really seen him in very much because, actually, a lot of times he plays roles in movies I don't want to watch. So, I thought he was fine.
Okay. Okay, what about Michael? What about you?
You know, I'm gonna kind of piggyback on what Trish was saying. I mean, I always think of him as Woody from Cheers, and you know, he shows up at the bars like, "Hey, this is a witty kind of bar we have here," and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I think later on, and I mean, he kind of branched out a little bit when he was in Natural Born Killers. Then he was in kind of a lot of like low budget independent movies for quite a while before he kind of bounced back with Hunger Games. He showed up there for a bit and then he shows up in this movie. So, you know, I when I first saw it, I'm not going to lie, I laughed. I'm like, oh my God, are you fucking for real? You have Woody Harrelson in this in a Star Wars movie, and then you see Ron Howard directing it, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But his performance wasn't bad. I mean, his the way he portrayed the character, it was kind of how he was. It was kind of that smirky kind of little guy who was, you know, he just kind of wanted to kind of do his own thing after a bit, but you know, he also had some different intentions, as we all find out at the very end of the movie as well.
Yeah. And then Vicky? Victoria?
I agree.
The non-sister?
Because...
You're doing it yourself, Eddie.
So,
told us what happened.
That the Woody character from... that Woody as his character from Cheers, but I have seen him in a lot of movies, and he really seems to play this really washed-up asshole who's sarcastic about everything, and he's actually kind of good at it. So
yeah.
I had my doubts when they announced it, but I liked him in this role. I thought it was appropriate.
Oh yeah, I got to admit, I kind of did a double take myself when they said, "Oh, Woody Harrelson's been cast as apparently as Han Solo's mentor," and I'm like, "Okay,
no.
All right."
Allegedly,
okay.
Ted Danson was not available for that role.
Like, who was not available?
Ted Danson. Ted Danson apparently was not eligible for the role or was not available. So, so Woody Harrelson had to be part of that.
Well, would you have preferred, Michael, would you have preferred John Ratzenberger? So, hey, listen, man, you're not really ready to do the Kessel Run because, you know, it can only be done in, like, 20 parsecs.
He's already been in a Star Wars movie.
There you go. What? Hey, good job, Vic. Good job. Yeah, you remembered. You remembered him from,
oh, yeah.
You remembered him from Empire. Yep.
I'm joining the rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when Emperor Palpatine, took over, the mail service just is not enjoyable job anymore. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Rebels now.
Yeah, that's Jim Ratzenberger. I'm sorry. Which, by the way, John Ratzenberger, if he's listening, dude, you know, that's the best impression I can do. It's with love. It's with love, man. Please don't call in all pissed, okay? Did it with love, okay? All right. Love all the cameos you do in Pixar, okay? Yeah. So, yeah, but I think, though, we're talking Woody Harrelson. We're talking Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, but we would be remiss. We'd be remiss because, honestly, I think that this actor playing this character stole the damn show. And, we have to mention Donald Glover as Lando. We gotta. I mean, that's just, yeah, Donald Glover, Lando Calrissian. The minute he showed up, I mean, honestly, the minute I saw him in costume, like all the little preview images and stuff, I was just like, wow. And then that trailer where they had, you know, they showed the first meeting and, you know, Han goes, "I've heard stories about you." And he says, "They're all true." I'm just like, boom, got it.
Yeah.
Whammo. Like that, the photon torpedoes went down the exhaust port. Like, perfect. Did not impact off the surface. Yeah, see? Yeah, it's a Star Wars review. Of course I'm going to make an analogy like that. What'd you expect? But yeah, Trish, do you agree, thumbs up on Donald Glover or no?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, you think
he
that...
He was actually the best part of the entire movie for me. So I wish he was just in the movie more.
Oh, yeah. What about Michael? Agree or disagree?
His performance oozed through the screen. It made it believable that he was Lando Calrissian before he got older. I mean, this clearly was a role that was meant for him. And, you know, if Disney does decide to continue with these spinoff movies, I like to see him cast in Lando's role for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. Vicky, do we make this, like, unanimous?
Talk about perfect casting. He had the character down. He had the mannerisms down. And you believed it. I really thought I was watching Billy Dee Williams as a kid.
Oh yeah, definitely. For me, I think also what was also cool was his co-pilot L3. I heard that he was getting like a droid co-pilot. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then just seeing her character, especially this whole droid rights, I'm just like, what? Oh, okay, whoa, wasn't expecting that. And it was just, I was just like, wow, this is kind of cool. That said, though, I got to admit, when she got taken down, I'm just like, oh, man. But the thing is, though, I mean, has anybody heard? Because, like, after she got killed, they uploaded her CPU into the Falcon. And,
yeah.
And that's why
you know,
C-3PO says that the system is rude.
Yeah. But did you read the article about just the implication of this, the fact that she's in there? Because I mean, there was like an entire article where basically it talked about the fact that L3 is supposed to be like the brain of the Falcon. It's like, this means that there are things about the Star Wars movies that are pretty, that make it like even dark, because it's like, okay, she's all about, you know, freedom, you know, droid freedom, and she's basically just like a slave almost to the whims of, you know, Han behind the controls of the Falcon, or the fact that how long was the Falcon sitting in Jakku, like in that junkyard? I mean, you gotta wonder, was L3 going bananas? You know, was she going crazy,
yes.
Sitting there? You know, you also have to wonder when poor Rey is like behind the controls and banging into everything, was L3 basically like, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? You want to fly this thing? I mean, you got to figure she was just going, like, if L3 could, like, you know, access the speaker system, she'd be probably bitching Rey out. Like, who taught you how to fly? Something just hit me. I wonder, because at the end of Empire, we have Han, you know, frozen in carbonite, or as Sister Vicky would say, in the chocolate. I'm never gonna let her.
Don't let her live that one,
Trish,
down. That was bad.
No, I'm not. Trish, should I let Vicky off the hook for that one, or should I just keep going with it? What do you think?
We roll on.
Okay. All right. We've got one for keep going, one for leave alone. Michael, you wanna break the tie here? Should I pester my little sister?
I am staying the fuck out of this one. I am staying the fuck out of this.
Thanks.
When it's between
a
woman,
I'm
gonna
dry here.
I am.
You're leaving
no,
me.
I'm
dry. Thanks.
Because
thanks,
I am
Mike.
Just strictly going to sit there,
you.
Make popcorn, and enjoy and drink
thank
my
you.
Billy Dee Williams Colt 45. That's what I'm gonna be doing. Colt 45.
Okay. You know what? Honestly, I kind of wish you were backing me up, but the Colt 45 reference. Okay, I'm gonna let you off the hook for that one. I'm gonna let you off the hook.
No, okay,
I'm gonna let you off the hook. But yeah, that I just now. I mean, we're talking character, but overall, I mean, overall plot. What did everybody think? Like Trish, what do you think of just the overall plot? Like how the movie unfolded.
I don't know. I mean, you got the whole thing in the beginning with him trying to, you know, get off of the what planet he was on, whatever it was, and
Corellia, yeah.
Corellia, and then having to, you know, leave Kira behind, and I don't know. As far as plot goes, I guess it was okay. I need to see it again. I just need to see it again. So now that I know what to expect. So I can actually go back and enjoy it. Hopefully, enjoy it.
Okay, all right. That is a fair answer. Michael, what did you think?
I think it was as expected. It wasn't something that blew me away. It was, you know, going into the movie, you know, you have thoughts about what a movie's going to be like, and you think, okay, well, Han Solo, how did it start out? Well, you know, he didn't start out as someone who was just being a good choir boy. He was probably someone who was going out doing things along the streets, and sure enough, you saw the trailer. They're already starting to talk about that a bit, and then when you actually see the movie, the first literally 15 minutes, he's stealing something. So right off the bat, okay, he's already stealing something. Knew about him joining the Empire for a bit because he was just trying to escape that. I didn't know about that part of it, but I know he was trying to escape the planet so he can be a pilot and then his smuggler ways. So, yeah, I think it was as expected. It wasn't something that was strictly a movie that would blew me away based off, you know, shocking, you know, plot throughout the entire movie. It was as expected.
Yeah. Although we do, there are maybe a few twists that we'll get into in a minute. Victoria, what about you?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, overall plot, what did you think?
I agree that it was to be expected, but that's because of the Joseph Campbell model of mythology, which heavily influenced Lucas with the original four and then the three prequels. And even though other people have taken over, they're following, there's this path that Joseph Campbell wrote extensively about the path of the hero. And even though Han Solo doesn't really become a hero until, I don't know, somewhere around Empire, old guy before that. He's not truly a hero yet, but, you know, by the time we get to Empire, he's pretty much a hero. But he had to take a path. And so this story arc fits that model. And so I kind of wouldn't expect anything else from a Star Wars movie. And I agree. There was nothing really surprising, but there were some little nuggets that just made you smile. And it's like, ooh, I wasn't expecting that. I like that one.
Yeah. Victoria, I got to give you a round of applause. Because, wow, bringing in the Joseph Campbell hero's journey. That's okay, you know what?
If you knew my first degree, you'd understand.
You know what? Okay, Trish, since you're a regular part of this show, like I am, make a note. Okay, we have now gone up a notch. Okay, because we've gotten into some like real big, like, literary reference shit, okay? We've actually brought Joseph Campbell into the mix, okay? Wow. All right, see, we're not just about, like, we're not just about dirty words and sex jokes here on Keeping It Reals, okay? We just dropped some,
too.
Like, serious English lit shit, okay? There you go. All right, any serious English, like, college students listening to this, okay? You can now officially feel better, all right? You haven't dumbed yourself down yet. Okay.
She brings up Greek mythology a lot on the show, on the Disneyverse podcast. She does bring up some Greek mythology, so you're welcome.
Oh wow. Okay, great. See, all right. Oh, cool. Cool. So okay, so I think Chris, you made a good choice in reaching out to the Disneyverse podcast people. Okay, we've ticked things up a notch. That is awesome.
So nice to know all those degrees did not go to waste.
Yeah. There you go. Whoever said comparative literature was a shit degree, who's laughing now? Oh, Lordy.
I'm sorry.
Trish, I mean, Vicky, you mentioned, the little nut, there's not a lot of surprises here, but a few little nuggets. I remember seeing a review that was kind of complaining about, I think this was just somebody talking about it on Facebook, and they picked the scene where Beckett hands Solo a blaster, and it's Han's iconic blaster pistol.
Right.
And they're just like, did we really need that? That's just so Batman Begins. We don't need the origin of every little thing. And I just thought about that, and I'm like, well, see, but for me, I like that scene. I liked it because it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, maybe we didn't need to know exactly where his blaster came from, but it was a cute little thing. And the thing is, though, is that it was done without any sort of buildup or any sort of, look. It was just like, oh, he's getting a blaster. And, oh, that's where he got it, you know? It was just no big deal. And it was just like, oh, okay, that's how it happened. You know, it's just a tiny little thing, but it's like, that's one part
It was no, you know, Last Crusade with finding out where Indy got his hat from. You know, that was epic. This was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There was no build up. Yeah. No build up in the soundtrack of the da 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 dun da da. No, there wasn't. I mean, I did notice though, we did get, you know, one big nugget, which I remember Billy was actually pointing this out, and a bunch of us figured it out when we saw the previews and we saw the Falcon going through the kind of maelstrom in space. We basically, a bunch of people figured, oh shit, we're getting the Kessel Run, you know, the infamous Kessel Run that he made in 14 parsecs.
I thought it was 12.
I think so. Yeah, 12. That's right.
I did that. 12. I did that on purpose. I wanted to see who would jump on that. But yes, the famous 12 parsec Kessel Run, which apparently was rounding down. You know, I think that was also. I think Billy had pointed something like that out, didn't he, Trish? Because I think we'll find out that that's not exactly accurate. Yeah, so it wasn't exactly accurate. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say it probably is a little closer to 14, but Han kind of rounded down.
Probably.
So, yeah, it's probably not a huge number, but, you know, there's enough of a gap that his rounding down is a little.
Han Solo is just overcompensating. He talks about his 14 parsecs, but he's really saying 12. We all know what that means. So
yeah.
Would it be the same about guys that dig crap or fancy cars? Either or.
Oh jeez,
it's possible.
Oh lordy, but yeah. Although getting back on track, I have to say that I'm kind of
Cold 45.
Am I gonna have to mute your mic and make you sit in the corner? I don't have to make you sit in the corner.
Sorry, Dad.
Don't make me do it. this time it's not me on your show. You're on my show, and I have my fingers on the button.
He'll have to excuse him. He gets a little bit too much drunk with power.
Well, sweet.
Well,
I've been a guest on other podcasts, and I see how they have fun with the soundboard. So you know what? It's finally Zoidberg's time. It's Zoidberg's time to mute the mic. Sorry, I can't do the blah, 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 blah. I can't do that while talking. I could try, but I'd fail. Jeez, but yeah. Oh man, so we got the Kessel Run. I think we didn't get his jacket though. We didn't get the iconic.
You know, I have to say something
about
the Kessel Run. I have to say something about the Kessel Run.
I was
actually disappointed with it. I thought it was going to be some. You know, I didn't. What we got is not what I thought it was. So, I don't know. For some reason, I always thought the Kessel Run was a race. And I thought he did the fastest, you know, time in a race. And yeah, apparently, no, that's not a race. So, I don't know. I just didn't get it. I thought it was like, okay, this is
I think they didn't want to have the complaints. Yeah, I heard that they didn't want to have the same complaints about the pod race, which I actually liked. In Phantom Menace, and they didn't want to have comparisons, and but you know, makes sense. It would be a smuggler's run, you know.
Yeah. Although my understanding, see, this is again, I think one. This is something where, yeah, it is kind of like somebody who's not like a giant, you know, absorb everything kind of fan versus someone. It's like this is like a great example of like how much exposure you have, because I've always been under the idea that the Kessel Run, like I actually was like that at first as well. You know, I just remember, you know, like hearing the line and thinking, oh, you know, he did this race. And then as I grew up and I read more Star Wars stuff, you know, I'd heard that the Kessel Run was less of a kind of a race thing and more of like a, you know, just like, oh, this is kind of a treacherous path, and then, you know, Han was just the way to find, like, the, you know, the path that was less hazardous. So, you know, it's like
It doesn't sound as exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it doesn't sound, although, you know, once you hear stuff like, for example, the fact that Kessel's surrounded by black holes, it's like, oh, okay, ah.
Well, then it's a little cooler.
Okay, I think I understand.
I said, then it becomes a little cooler.
Yeah, then it becomes a little cooler, yeah. And well, hey, nobody told us that there was going to be, like, weird space tentacle monsters. So, you know, there's that, too.
Okay, just to be geeky again, I think Stephen Hawking might have had a problem with that scene.
You know, probably, yeah, I'm sure that Hawking, if he would have seen the movie, would have probably been like, yeah, probably just had a problem with, like, there can't be tentacle monsters in space. But you know what? This is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and if
Thank
Empire
God,
can
so
have,
we can
like,
defy the small physics.
Well, you know what? They already did, because remember, in Empire, we had the giant space worm that had, like, the falcon in its tummy for a while, you know, lest everybody forget.
And that was
so
fun. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Science be damned.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yep. Not to mention the fact that, you know, other science fiction has kind of broken the rules about creatures and being able to float through space. So, you know, right now it's a little too late to start, you know, kind of bitching and moaning
That's
about,
true.
You know, breaking the laws of physics. It's like that got broken a long time. Like, it is way too late here.
Like,
you know,
3 seconds into the original Star Wars.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, we already, yeah. Yep, ship has sailed. Ship sailed a long time ago, and you're still on the dock like, it's coming back. It's coming back.
Yeah.
It's going to come back. But oh man, oh, but geez, we did I do kind of want to mention because if there's anything in the movie that surprised the living shit out of me, that I was like, holy crap, I would have never seen this coming in a million years, it would have to be that surprise cameo at the end. Okay, that was what had me going, wait, what? What the fuck? What? Let's see who. Okay, show of hands. Who wants to tackle that? Who wants to reveal what the cameo is? Trish, do you want to do that?
I'll go ahead and do it. Trish wants you to go for it.
No, let Michael go.
Okay, Michael, who was the surprise? Well, first of all, how do we find out about the surprise cameo, and who was it?
Well, it was the character known as Darth Maul. I believe he was in a hologram, and, you know, by the way, don't forget he has a red lightsaber, so let's throw that in at the very, very, very end of it. but, when I saw that, my first thought was, oh, my God, they're doing live-action Star Wars Rebels. That was my very first thought, that they're going to switch this into Star Wars Rebels, where you're going to see a lot of the characters from the animated on Disney XD make their way into live-action. And that's what my thought process is going forward, is they're going to incorporate Han Solo in the Star Wars Rebel.
Okay. What about, I mean, Trish, what did you think when you saw Darth Maul?
First thing I thought was, isn't he dead? Didn't he get cut in half? I mean, he got cut in half. That's pretty definitive, right? I mean, unless you're Deadpool, you know, I mean, you know.
Theory on that. Yeah.
But
I have a theory.
Okay.
So Mr. Miyagi grabbed him. And he realized Darth Maul was in trouble, so he did his infamous clap the hands and start rubbing his hands together. Now he's back.
Okay. So Mr. Miyagi jumped to the Star Wars universe and saved him.
Yes, and it all ties in to Cobra Kai that's on YouTube Red, currently available right now. It's all going to be tied in together. Just watching now.
Oh, jeez.
Great show. Wonderful
dude, are you like working? Are you working for Google? That's why you just plugged Cobra Kai.
Let me check my 75 different Google apps here. Oh, nope, I'm not.
Okay. Because I mean, man, that just sounded like shameless plug right there. You know, wonder. Okay, you sure that like you don't have your computer open right now? There's like an app, and it's like this pair of eyes with like the Google logo, and it's like, plug YouTube, Michael.
I actually just got done watching Cobra Kai. Side note, but no, that was my theory. Mr. Miyagi.
I'm gonna have to next,
gonna be
next
part
time.
Of
yeah, I mean, next time we see
was
each other,
good?
I'm probably gonna have to check that. I think I'm gonna have to check.
It is awesome. It is incredibly funny.
Yeah. Remind me though, Trish, next time we're all together, to check Michael to see if there's like a little microchip or something like on his back or something. You know, if he starts like dissing YouTube, there's going to be like a shock, and he's going to be like, no, it's great. It's great. YouTube's great. I love the ads. Google's awesome. Yeah, no, I said it.
You know, Michelle might be a little bit worried of having you frisk her husband. I mean, Michael might enjoy it, but. Yeah.
You know what? I got a better idea. Let's have Big Matt frisk him.
Yes.
There we go. Oh man. What about? Okay, back on topic before this gets horrifying. Vicky, Victoria,
yes.
Victoria,
yes.
Non-sister Victoria. What did you think about Maul's surprise appearance?
Well, at first I was like, what? And I was like, oh, hold on, yeah, remember he came back? Because it had been a long time since I had watched Clone Wars, where we first learned that he comes back,
right.
The Clone Wars cartoon. And I didn't tell my son I said that because he'll laugh at me. He's like, you remember everything. Well, I forgot. But then I was like, oh, this is getting good. Damn it, it's the end. Well, what the fuck? You know, come on,
yeah.
Don't leave it there. Especially if they may not make a second one. I want answers, damn it.
Yeah. I knew about him coming back in Clone Wars. The thing that, first of all, I mean, I was just totally surprised because I was like, they talk about, you know, Dryden Vos and Kira, you know, having like this superior that's, you know, and, you know,
right.
There's even hints about Jabba. There's hints about Jabba because they said, oh, there's this gangster in Tatooine, you know, we're going to head over there. He's going to have some work. You know, so then, you know, after Vos gets killed and Kira calls and is like, oh, somebody killed Dryden Vos. Totally not me, but somebody else killed him. What do you want me to do, boss? And, you know, it's Darth Maul like, okay, come on back home. You know, Vos was a pussy, but, you know, you look awesome. You look like you could command dragons. I don't know why. I just feel that way. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised. And it's also because, I mean, in Star Wars, you know, Maul shows up in Star Wars Rebels as well. And in
yes.
this last season that, you know, the final season, which just happened, he actually dies again. Like, he actually has a rematch with Obi-Wan. And, you know, he gets killed. So seeing him, I'm like, wait, does he survive Rebels? Or does it take
That's
place
right.
before? I mean, yeah, I had to, I found out, like I later read an article and it's like, no, Solo takes place before Rebels. So yeah, I mean, they could still do more with Darth Maul, but it's like, okay, there's going to be no way.
He's going to be taped up every limb in him. He's going to be all taped up. His arms are taped up. His head's
yep.
all taped up.
Hey, duct tape will
yeah.
solve anything.
That's right. It's like that Flex Seal.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's the stuff that's kind of rubbery, right? That you kind of like
yes.
you put over and it kind of becomes rubber.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is? Flex Seal is the tool of the Empire.
What?
There you go. We figured it out.
That explains so much.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
But oh jeez. But yeah, now, I mean, honestly, we're having. I mean, this just Solo just sounds like such a fun movie, you know. It just sounds like, you know. I mean, here we are talking about it. We're having a good time, but it doesn't. I mean, Trish, I did give you some homework. How much money has Solo made so far?
All right, let's see here. So, as of yesterday. This is just an estimate. It has made domestically $199,319,870. Worldwide, it has made $346 million.
Okay, now,
and it's
I mean,
still considered a flop.
Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, this doesn't it. You know, you found those numbers. Now,
yeah.
Has Solo made, I mean, to the best of, you know, this is a, you know, to the best of your knowledge, to the best of anybody's knowledge here, it's made back what it to make
yes.
this film, hasn't it?
Yes.
It cost $250 million to make it, but you know, have to add on advertising as well. Of course, they didn't do as much advertising for this movie as they have for other Star Wars movies because, you know, there was
yeah.
no trailer until the Super Bowl. And then even after the trailer, there was I didn't see hardly any advertising for it. So I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
they
I,
didn't spend as much.
But then here's the thing. Okay,
but,
so it's still considered a flop, but I had you do some
but
other
I
homework.
I did see an article
okay.
that said that they have made back what they spent on it.
Okay, so yeah, they have made back what they spent. They have made back what they spent. Now let's do a little compare and contrast. The Last Jedi. You know,
yes.
how much did that make?
Domestically, it grossed $620 million, which is,
okay.
you know, that's three times what Solo has made. So I could see why that would be considered you know, that's pretty bad. And also then domestically,
yeah.
Last Jedi grossed $1,332,000,000.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is a huge number. What about? See, because I had you look up
so
a
I
can, third.
Looking at these numbers, I could mm-hmm. totally that is a pretty sizable difference.
Yeah. Yeah. But then let's also. I mean, that's a regular. Last Jedi is like part of the regular trilogy. I think
yeah.
I also had you look up Rogue One. What did Rogue One make?
Now, Rogue One, they made domestically, they made $532 million.
Okay.
So, again, that's a lot more. That's almost three times as much. And worldwide, it made $1,056,000,000. So, you know, it's less than Last Jedi, but it still reached over a billion.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's...
Compared
I mean,
to
you look at...
346 million worldwide for Solo. That's yeah, that's not even
yeah, and it's,
you know, that's not even up to domestic on
yeah,
the other two. I mean, that's not even close.
Yeah. And it's been out like what about a month now, pretty much.
Solo.
Yeah, I think so.
It opened
yeah.
Memorial
yeah.
Day weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been. I mean, it's been out. I remember it came out. It came out, what was it? Memorial Day weekend was what? The weekend after Deadpool 2 came out?
Yeah.
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 It came out.
That was just mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It came out after. And then it also, I think it also, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, Infinity War was what? The last weekend in April.
Yeah.
So
April
27th. That was 2 weeks.
Yeah. They moved
so,
that,
yeah,
they moved that
movie
up like a week
they
ago.
They were all still there.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is. You know, it's, I mean, I've seen a lot, you know, that's the thing. The internet has been crazy with articles about, you know, why. Well, first of all, I mean, I have to admit that the numbers are staggering. That's a really big gap between, I mean, just taking Last Jedi out of the picture for a second because it's a regular Star Wars film and just comparing it to Rogue One, which was the first of these spinoff films to hit. The number is still pretty staggering. I mean, just domestically, it you know, the gap is like over half. You know,
yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
but still, the fact that it did Solo has made back what it took, and we're talking about a film that actually had to be reshot almost from the ground up. So the fact that it made
right.
it back, that's still impressive. I mean, it's not it's weird because. Sometimes the definition of flop, it's like if you look at what a movie actually made, it did not put the studio that make it in the red. It just didn't do as well compared to, you know, the films in the same franchise that came before it
yes.
or, you know, compared to similar films. So, I mean,
it's
in
only
one
a
sense,
flop
it's not a...
in terms of expectations as opposed to actual flop. I mean, I would consider a flop being broke. I would not consider a flop making my money back. And the fact is that a lot of people actually did like it. Some people loved it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
yeah.
a
no, yeah.
flop.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, although, you know, I feel kind of also, I mean, this is something I did want to get into here because, I mean, part of it, I just, you know, this is something that came into my head in preparing this episode because I thought it's, you know, you can't really talk about Solo without also talking about the fandom. And just really, I mean, this is the nicest way that I can put this. The fandom and issues that are going on with the fandom right now. You
yeah.
said it, Victoria, you said it yourself, like, you know, earlier in this episode, that, yeah, you did read some of the Expanded Universe stuff. You're of two minds. Of like, you know, getting rid of the Expanded Universe stuff. I'm kind of the same way because I did read a lot of the novels. Actually, as we're broadcasting now, I'm in my home office and I can turn my head. I'm looking at my I'm looking at one of my bookshelves and I can see two of the Star Wars graphic novels in my collection. And those things now no longer are canon. you know, they're now part of the Legends universe, which is where all the expanded universe stuff got put. And it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, there are characters and concepts that I kind of wish had stuck around. There are some that have been reintroduced,
right.
You know, like Grand Admiral Thrawn was put in Rebels. But yeah, I can understand that some people are upset. But, you know, I kind of feel like, I think Solo, you know, it has been mentioned that they did not do a lot of advertising for this. The first trailer, the first teaser came out during the Super Bowl, which was, Trish, what was it, end of February?
Beginning
first
of February.
Sunday in February. Yeah.
First. Okay, so it was beginning of February, but still, Solo was coming out end of May. That's not a lot of lead time for something like this.
Right.
You know, I feel like didn't that first teaser for Force Awakens, didn't that come out like November? The year before it came out, or at least beginning of the year?
Yeah, I thought it was on like Halloween weekend or something.
Right. It's like that first teaser came out quite a while before the film came out. I remember the second teaser, you know, the one that ended with, you know, Harrison Ford and Chewbacca and the whole "Chewie, we're home." That was like in May or April, and the movie was coming out in December. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of, you know, having it kind of late, you know, just really doesn't, you know, it doesn't give a lot of build-up time for momentum. Now, here's the, of course, I think the other part of it is, and this is something, is that, you know, the movie is directed by Ron Howard, but he was not the first director. The first director were...
the guys from the Lego movie.
Yeah. Trish?
The first teaser trailer for Force Awakens came out November 28th, 2014. So it was like a year and a month before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. There you go.
Out.
Yeah. So we had over a year. Yeah. We had over a year to be like, yes. Yes, I can't wait.
Well,
yeah. So
I mean, I will play devil's advocate a little bit though on that, in that marketing
mm-hmm.
part, because yeah, I think if they would have pushed it back a little bit, it's maybe starting beginning of January, because remember, Last Jedi was still in theaters when the Solo movie, where the trailer was released. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to debut a movie trailer, a lot of people really want those trailers to be shown during the Super Bowl. That's when everybody, even people who don't watch football, watch the Super Bowl. And they always watch the commercials. So I know, like, and at least the house that we go to every year or every other year
mm-hmm.
that we go to, during commercials, we actually will listen to the commercials, but like during the game, we'll just be talking through it. So I think the advertising, yes, I think that they could have maybe gone a little bit further back, not too much further back, but I do think that the advertising was as close as they possibly could, just because Last Jedi was still in theaters and they don't want to overdo it, oversaturate the market on that.
Okay.
Well, what they should have done also was they should have not released Solo 6 months after, not even 6 months after Last
yeah,
Jedi.
Yeah, that was way too tight.
There was a buildup. It was
yep.
no
yes.
buildup. They should have.
Yep.
It should
yeah.
be a movie every December, at the very
yeah, there
most.
There you go.
Actually,
yeah, that does. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that
First,
does. That
I
does actually.
That it was every May.
Yeah.
Every Star
yeah.
Wars
yeah.
movie came out in May.
Too.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah
but
I mean, that was...
the Christmas I was doubting, but then I loved the movie, and then it's like, okay, now we've changed the date, let's keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing for Marvel to like release movies kind of close to each other, like within months of each other, because I mean, the movies are so different. And the world is so diverse
right.
that you can actually do that.
There may be a relationship, but there doesn't have to be.
Right, exactly.
They don't have to forward
whereas,
one story or another.
Yeah. Whereas with this, it is, you know, it is something. It's a little tighter. So yeah, you know, the other thing is, I mean, we just you know, to go back on something. Yeah, Ron Howard was the one who directed this, but the Lego Movie guys were the ones who started. And Lucasfilm was just like, okay, the style you're working with is not what we're kind of looking for. we really, you know, could you guys change it or could you just walk out? And yeah, the Lego Movie's guys walked out. And I just remember, you know, seeing reaction on the internet and everybody's like, oh shit. Okay. Well, what the fuck are they doing? You know, like, what are they doing? This is killing it. And just, you know, people just being like, okay, that's it. This movie's going to suck because Lucasfilm and Disney got too heavy handed and, you know, they just killed creativity. So what are we going to be left with? And then Ron Howard stepped in and, you know, some people were just like, what, you know, oh, Ron Howard. Okay. You know, I thought the Lego Movie guys would be a lot better, but you know, I just remember seeing Ron Howard and I'm like, okay.
The history of Ron Howard and George Lucas. They have a history that goes back to when Ron Howard was still a teenager and George Lucas is a brand new filmmaker. And they had intertwined, they both worked for Roger Corman. They both worked for Francis Ford Coppola. And he actually asked Ron Howard if he would direct Empire Strikes Back, but he felt he was too new a director. He only had two movies under his belt. One of them was a Roger Corman special and Grand Theft Auto. And he didn't feel like he was strong enough. I think that if anyone on this planet has got the relationship with the series, he's one of them.
Yeah. No, yeah, good point, Vicky. I mean,
I think American Graffiti was the movie that he directed, Lucas directed Ron Howard, didn't he?
Yeah.
He directed Ron Howard in American Graffiti and American Graffiti 2.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, which, but I've never seen more American Graffiti, but I heard it's not as good as the original, like the first one.
Not nearly as good as the original.
Yeah.
It's like
great
think,
music,
but
that's about it.
Yeah. But I do think though, the fact that the director, like the switch in the directors and just like the tone of it, you know, the tone in which the switch was done, I think also kind of caused problems.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it's really hard to come back
momentum.
From that.
Yeah, it is. And that may also be why they didn't release a trailer until the Super Bowl, because, you know, it could be that Ron Howard was still working on it. And then plus they just kind of wanted things to die down before dropping something. You know, they wanted like things to quiet down, but it just feels to me like the move backfired. You know, the other thing I've heard, and to be honest, it's like, I don't know. I hear this and it's like, I don't know how to feel. Because apparently there was talk around the internet, there were people getting together that are still mad at the choices Disney has made, particularly because they were pissed at how Last Jedi ended up unfolding. And they basically thought, okay, Last Jedi, like, you know, Last Jedi made mad money, so we're going to get our vengeance by purposely torpedoing Solo. And, you know, this will be the message to Disney, you know, the message to Disney of, like, you know, this is your punishment for fucking with, you know, with our beloved franchise. And,
yeah, but
I mean,
all pissed at Lucas with the original trilogy. Well, parts of it. So it's kind of like, I don't understand the vicious backlash, the I'm going to fuck you up mentality. I'm like, good God, people, it's a movie. I may be obsessive.
Well,
I might have 5,000 things of Star Wars in my house, but I am not going to torpedo the thing that I love. Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
that's fine.
And it's like, it's stupid. And now because this has happened, they're, you know, putting a hold on a lot of the Star Wars sequels. I actually saw an article that Disney's refuting that, saying, no, actually, we are still, you know, working on these movies. But I don't know. I just have this feeling that, you know, we're not going to, you know, get the movies that we wanted anymore. You know, they're going to be like, well,
I have a theory on that. I think what they're going to do is they're going to be more selective as to what they're going to spin off, because, you know, Han Solo is one of those characters in the Star Wars universe that is very, very relatable to a lot of people. Obviously, people don't go out and, like, steal things and shoot first, but, you know, he in the Star Wars universe, he's kind of just it's just not how it is, but in the Star Wars universe, though, a lot of people kind of think of him as just this average guy. They just think of him as just some guy who's, you know, just trying to get, you know, through the universe, and he's got a furry friend and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, I do think you're going to see a Boba Fett. I do think you're going to see that. I think you could potentially see an Obi-Wan spinoff movie, but I mean, out of those two, I know there was discussion about maybe doing 7 to 8 spinoff movies. Now, I don't think we're going to get more than 2. I really, really don't, because Disney is so, you know, Disney's so just out of that. Yeah, well, now they are because they see. They just think Star Wars is going to pump out like $300 million. I mean, Trish just went through the numbers. They're going to pump out those numbers. Well, it didn't pump those numbers out. It still hasn't reached to date. Well, it probably is now at $200 million now as of today. But as of yesterday, it was at $199. So, I mean, it hadn't made $200 million, and it's been out for a month, including a holiday week, two holiday weekends, Father's Day and Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
I mean, that – Well, and it's like that particular thing, though, I mean, that is not Solo's fault in that one, because honestly, that is one of those things about blockbuster movies and this period of time in like movie releases, like summer releases, in which it does create this sort of, you know, success or perish type of thing, where you're just like, it's automatically assumed that, you know, in order for you to be a success, in order for the movie not to be a bomb, it just has to kill. It just has to come right out of the gate and kill. And it's like, oh, if you don't do well on Father's Day, you know, your movie is absolute garbage. And, you know, that's one of those things that it's like, okay, but what are you supposed to do when you bring out a movie and it's up against Incredibles 2, which just comes out, Infinity War, which is still, you know, a juggernaut. You know, there's this movie and that movie, and it's like, okay, you know, it seems kind of almost unfair. So, I mean, that one I don't give, you know, I'm not going to give Disney or Lucasfilm crap, because, I mean, it's just, it's an epidemic that, you know, if you're going to give one studio crap, you give them all crap.
The expectation of what a movie should do is getting kind of scary, because I love movies.
Yeah.
And I used to go to movies every weekend before I bought a house. And, you know, it just, I love movies, and I would go to them as much as possible, except for the price. And take all that into account. And it's like, no offense, at what point do we have to give? Because, what, if we don't hit $500 million the next time, it's going to be a flop? Seriously, they got to get it's just like Wall Street. Everyone needs to get things into perspective. Whether you're talking the fans or the studios, and sometimes I get really frustrated with people that love, you know, they're my clan, they're part of my people, and I love these movies as much as they do, but they just, I have read some stuff that I was like, really, have you ever watched a Star Wars movie? Because, boy, you're going way off.
Oh, yeah. Disney, at the end of the day, messed up their release dates. They got it wrong with A Wrinkle in Time. They got it wrong with Solo.
Yes.
Avengers and Deadpool, they got it right.
Yeah.
Well, Deadpool's not Disney, because that's still Fox.
It's about to be.
You know,
I don't know. I think
unless
Friday
Comcast,
at 5 p.m. it might be now.
But see,
know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but it's like, but I mean, yeah, you got it right. I mean, if Disney can be held at fault, it's that they should have sat on it for a little bit and kind of released it when it wasn't so crowded. But I think that, but I mean, to me, I do. I mean, I am going to admonish the fans for a second. And truth be told, this conversation is something that I'm going to have on a future episode, because, you know, there's just way too much to mine. But it's like, you know what? It's one of these things where, I mean, honestly, I'm going to say this, and anybody who gets pissed off, I'm sorry if I'm pissing you off, but it needs to be said, okay? I'm turning into geek parent here, okay? And I'm going to use three words here. I'm going to use three words that you're going to have to hear, okay? Calm fucking down, okay?
Amen.
Because you know what? But this is reality time, okay? This is going to be harsh. This is the reels and keeping it reels, okay? The studios, all right, harsh truth, the studios don't owe you. They don't owe me. They don't owe anybody who's doing this show with me. They don't owe you shit, okay? End of the day, when you get down to the brass tacks, the studios are about making money. Only thing they care about is you go to the theater, you buy your ticket, you sit in front of that screen, and you watch the movie. They care about when they release this on Blu-ray that you go to wherever it is you buy Blu-rays from, whether it's Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Amazon, wherever, that you put the money down and you get the Blu-ray and you have it in your collection. You know, that's what they care about. Now, if you're lucky, if you are lucky, you have a filmmaker, a director, a writer, actors that care about the project enough that they will try to do something you will love and enjoy. But they are not obligated, okay? They are under no obligation. And you know what? And here's the other thing. It is not yours. Star Wars is not yours. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to Trish. It doesn't belong to Michael. It doesn't belong to Vicky. It belongs to whoever has the rights. Lucas used to have them. He's the one who created them, okay? He sold it to Disney. Disney has them. Okay? It's theirs to do with as they please. Now, okay, one thing that we do have rights to is we have a choice whether to like something or not. It's fine. And you can still be a fan. Okay? You can still be a fan and not like something. It is not a contract that says you have to like everything that gets put out. And believe me, okay, there's been stuff that other stuff that has been put out by other studios or other franchises that I have not liked. Okay? But you know what? That's fine. I'm allowed not to like the Michael Bay Transformer films. Now, they've made money. Okay? We've said this before. They have made money, and if they continue to make money, the studio will continue to do them. But you know what? As a fan, I have a choice. Freedom of choice. God bless America. I could choose not to watch them. I have Transformer comics all around me. I am actually within touching distance of DVDs of the original 80s cartoon. So I could just enjoy that. I'm still being a good fan, okay? If you don't like Solo, a Star Wars story, you don't like it, that's fine. That's fine. Like, Trish, you said so far you don't like it. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to like it, okay? You're still a Star Wars fan, okay? You know? But here's the thing. Don't sit there and fuck up the movie because you have a beef because, oh, my dear God, there was a Star Wars movie that came out, and Luke was a grumpy old man. Okay, you didn't like it. That's fine. But don't fuck it up for everybody else, because you know what? Now, if there is something you do want, the studio might not give it to you. Okay? Because what they're thinking is, well, we tried to give them something, and they complained, so why should we even bother? So you know what? If we're lucky, we will get some more spin-off films. If we're not, then guess what? That Boba film, that Boba Fett film you wanted?
Can we talk?
Gone. Yeah.
No, I just have one thing I want to say. I just have one thing real quick to say on behalf of everybody. Eddie, first of all, thank you, number one. Number two, you mentioned Transformers. Yeah. We all don't want to forget Bumblebee comes out December 21st in movies. So
pay
attention to that.
I don't think I'll be putting on a Santa hat and an Optimus Prime shirt to go see that. But you never know. If another trailer comes out, and it looks really cool, then maybe I will, you know, go in with guarded optimism and say, please make me feel like I did when I sat down the TV for that first time and I heard the theme. But yeah, so far I'm not that excited.
All I wanted to say was I was told by Google and YouTube to say the Bumblebee release date. I was told by YouTube.
Okay, so you're
your
overlord.
Oh, okay,
that's got it. Fine.
Okay,
Trish. Trish, you had something. Yeah, Trish, you said you had something. Please bring this back to a happy place, please.
I don't know if this is a happy place, but can we talk about this Jedi remake that these fans are trying to get done, and they're actually raising money for it, and they want to.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they would think that they're going to get anywhere with this.
Yeah, no, it's first of all, they say they have producers that are that can help them fund this. Okay, you say you got it.
I don't believe them.
First of all, I mean, color me. Okay. I'm a little skeptical. I am a little skeptical.
Yep.
I do want to know who are these producers you're talking about. And then, okay, but if they do have them, okay, that's
these are
okay.
Not
it's
the
like
producers
they say they
you're
have producers. I love that. Victoria, I'm giving you a fist bump right now. Okay, that was awesome. That was awesome. I just got to say, I mean, who are these producers you're talking about? If they have them, that's great. The other thing is, though, is that, you know what? I just have to say, I mean, I'm sorry, reality check, this is not going to happen. Because number one,
right.
If you produce, well, first of all, if you produce anything, okay, you're going to be doing it guerrilla style. You're going to be doing it without sanction from Lucasfilm. Okay?
Whoa. We just got into a serious discussion there. If we're going to produce something, it's going to be guerrilla style? Whoa, what are we talking
I mean,
here?
I mean, seriously, it's going to be without sanction from Lucasfilm because, honestly, I mean, whether you think it's a mistake or not, okay, Lucasfilm is not going to sign off on striking one of their movies from canon and replacing it with a group of people, you know, trying to do what they think is the better vision, okay? Not to mention the fact that, look, another sad reality check, at least two of the actors involved are no longer with us. Tim Rose, the guy who did the voice of Admiral Ackbar, is gone. Carrie Fisher,
yes.
As much as it pains me to say this, as much as it hurts to say this, she's gone. Okay? You are going to have to do this movie without the original Princess Leia.
And
okay?
chances are, the other actors are under contract with Disney for the Star Wars movies, that they're not going to be able to participate in another movie playing those characters. So,
I mean, that's an awesome point, Trish, not to mention the fact that that is even considering that they would be wanting to do it.
Right.
Because, okay, right. If you think you can bring the script to Mark Hamill and say, look, we have a script for a remake of Last Jedi that does much better to Luke Skywalker, okay, you're trying to place your bets that Mark Hamill would be like, oh yeah, this is fucking awesome. Oh, Rian Johnson can suck my lightsaber dick. You know, I want to do this. I mean, it's pinning your hopes on like a long shot. And it's just one of these things that, again, the only message you're sending is you're sending to Disney. You're going, wow, you're a bunch of ungrateful pricks. I mean, after how long? After a decade or so after the last Star Wars movie came out in theaters, we're giving you new Star Wars movies. Oh, but you're whining like little bitches. Oh, well, I guess we shouldn't bring them out anymore if you're going to act like this. You know, that's what we're going to get. You know, that is what we're going to get if this continues. What's going to happen is, you know, the studio, Lucasfilm and Disney are just going to be like, you know what? Bye, Felicia. You know, we're just going to stop.
Right.
You know, here's episode 9. We're not doing anymore. You know what? We'll keep Star Wars Land open because we put a lot of money into this, but you know what? No more movies because you don't know what the fuck you want. And they're just going to walk. And, man.
I do want to make a quick comment, though, about that. Rian Johnson did actually put something out on Twitter about this. Remake The Last Jedi sent out a tweet yesterday saying, our team of producers is offering to cover the budget for a remake of The Last Jedi in order to save Star Wars. Share this and spread the word to let Robert Iger and Disney know that you want this. Rian Johnson responded back saying, please, 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 please make this happen. So he's trolling them, saying, yeah, okay, whatever. So
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Rian Johnson knows. You know, Disney's
better.
Yeah.
But is anyone going to make a movie where every single fan, going back to 1977, every single one of us, all 5 bazillion jillion of us, are going to go, yes, that was the best movie ever? No, I haven't.
Yeah,
The Last Jedi.
Well, you know what?
That made me happy. So what?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I will give them credit. I will give this Twitter page credit. They did say we can't make everybody happy, but we're trying to, but they did acknowledge they're not going to make everyone happy. But honestly, it feels like a fool's errand brought out by just this extreme butthurt because, you know, Last Jedi didn't fulfill the fantasy that was in people's heads that would have been, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know, basically like, taking on an AT-AT all by himself
and, you know, just like, you know, jumping around like Yoda did in the prequels. It's like not, you know, it's like I happen to have liked Last Jedi as well. Was I surprised that, you know, the fact that, you know, what happened? Yes, but ultimately I liked it. But that's something, I mean, this is all going to be, you know, this is a to-be-continued discussion because this is an entire episode that we can do. But, I mean, just, and this is only scratched the surface. Still, I mean, it's just, honestly,
I
me
have
as
one
a fandom.
More comment I want to
make. Okay, you know what? You get the last word, Trish.
Oh, I don't know if I want the last word, but I just, you know, Disney has to tread carefully here. They have to tread carefully because, you know, they can't afford really to alienate the fans on either side. And so they need to go back and they need to start focusing on quality over quantity if they want this brand to last. Because I hate to say this, but right now I'm actually kind of tired of Star Wars. And I'm looking forward to the Star Wars Land opening, but I never want to feel tired of Star Wars. I want to be excited for it. And if they keep on just popping these movies out without worrying about the quality that they're making, people are going to start to walk away. I mean, people already are walking away because, you know, they think that things are going downhill. So they need to figure out what they're doing, and they need to figure out it out quick.
You know what? That honestly, I mean, Michael, Victoria, I hope you don't mind, but I think that's the perfect place to put a table on this discussion until later.
Absolutely.
I concur.
That is, you know what? There's our cliffhanger. There's our cliffhanger cut to the John Williams score. Because, we do not have the time right now to get into more of this. And this deserves like an entire episode. But that is an awesome point, and we are picking up on that later. I mean, that is, Trish, mark that down, because we are picking up. We are going to do an entire episode on this, and that is something we're going to pick up from, definitely.
I'm
going to
bring Nicole Fives.
Oh, jeez. Bring Billy D. You know what? Bring Billy D. Williams with Colt 45. Okay? That's
what
I'm going to
do.
Better.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I think right now what I am going to do is, you know what, it's kind of appropriate that we have you two guys here, that we have two Disneyverse guys here because, Disneyverse guy and girl, but, you know, two members of the Disneyverse podcast. There you go. That's gender neutral. You know, it's appropriate that we have you two here because next week we are actually doing some Disney. We're keeping it real. It's going to go Disney because, we're going to chop the episode in two because the first thing we're going to do is we're going to – what? Yeah. First thing we're going to do, we're going to have a review. We're going to review The Incredibles 2, or as I like to call it, about fucking time. That movie was awesome. Why did it make you wait 14 years? We had how many Cars movies?
Worth the wait.
We had how many Cars movies in the interim?
Yeah.
And then we had Incredibles 2? Yeah. So, we're going to review Incredibles 2. But you know what? The other half of the episode, we are going to actually talk about Pixar Pier. Okay, that should be – that's actually opening today, isn't it, Trish?
Yes, it opened today.
Isn't it open as we speak? Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about Pixar Pier. And I just want to say, anybody who's listening to this, if you've been to Pixar Pier already, if you are going to Pixar Pier, hit us up. Either send us an email or, hit us up on our Facebook page. Let us know that you want to talk about it. We'll have you on the show. Okay? We want to hear from somebody who's been to Pixar Pier because we want a firsthand account about what's going on. We'll actually go on a couple of Disney Facebook groups and ask, Michael, Victoria, is it okay if we post something on the Disneyverse podcast?
By all means, go for it.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, great. Yeah, we're going to be posting something. But, on that wonderful note, I'm going to strap into the Millennium Falcon and head out to do the Kessel Run myself. So this has been Eduardo M. Fryer with my co-host, my lovely wife,
Trisha Fryer.
And from the Disneyverse podcast, we have the host,
Mike.
And Vicky.
And, yep, and Michael and Vicky. And, yeah, just saying, you know what, remember when you're, you know, just remember when you're playing a game of Sabacc, don't bet your ship. Seriously, don't. No good will come of that. Awesome, and we are done. Wow, that
cool.
is cool. Thank you. Thank you both for coming on. That was great. That was awesome.
That was
thank
awesome.
You so much.
That was
thank
fantastic.
You so much.
So yeah, if you need
thank
us
you
to see next week,
us.
Just let us know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But are either of the two of you available next Saturday?
That's what I was saying. Next Saturday, I should be available. I'll double check, but I should be available for the full episode.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Vicky, are you available?
I'm good. I have church until 6.
Okay. That's
but,
fine.
You know,
that's
I
fine.
Can call from driving home like I did today if that wasn't too distracting.
Okay, that was not too distracting. I couldn't even you know what? I could not even tell you were driving.
We didn't even know.
So,
yeah, couldn't even tell.
Oh,
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you don't if you think you're available, that's fine. If if not, that's fine too. That's fine too. But yeah, definitely what I want thank you for letting us use the Disneyverse podcast page.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I want to find somebody who is going to Pixar Pier so they can call in, give us like a first-hand account.
Just let you know, next week I will be not broadcasting, but calling in live from downtown Reno as Tipsy Land is going to be happening or getting
great.
Ready to happen about
great.
Like 9 o'clock
that.
Next Saturday.
What is that? What is that exactly?
It is
it's a crawl.
Yeah, it's a crawl, but you get to dress up as your favorite Disney character.
Oh, geez.
Somehow,
I don't you'll excuse me for saying, but I take it that is not an officially sanctioned Disney event?
No.
Yeah. Somehow,
if it was,
I
would be like, what are they thinking?
I don't see the Mouse House approving that, but that sounds hilarious.
Well, we're
so
all,
yeah,
okay,
so,
go, so. I
okay.
go, so I want to go, so I don't know if
you
you're
going
go,
to
go, Eddie,
but
I want to go.
Well, depending on what Tipsy Land is, I may not be able to go. I may have to be here in front of the board.
I am going down there. Honestly, I'm not going to be drinking down there. I'm actually taking pictures for the podcast page on Facebook, and I'll send them to Vicky for that. So, but I'll have fun running around and doing all that stuff. So,
right.
Either way, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Right.
Well,
okay. Okay, but when does that start exactly?
Like 8 o'clock or 8:30 or something. I'll look at their page and confirm. And I'm going to probably advertise something about that on the podcast page this week. Say, hey, we're going to be down there. No big deal. But yeah, I'll send something later this week about it.
Oh, okay. So actually, Trish, we may have an opportunity to go there after the podcast.
Yeah,
right.
Too bad it's not tonight, because I think we probably need a drink after the end.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. But yeah, thanks. I'll put you guys down. I'll put you guys down for that. And
yeah.
So we may have to just this may be like a spiritual sequel, because we may have to have the same cast again.
Cool.
So yeah.
I think
we're
gonna,
yeah.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
let us
so,
know whenever
awesome.
You need
All
us,
right.
and we'll pop on.
Oh, no problem.
Excellent.
And,
yeah.
And I will have to. I'm going to have to talk to you one-on-one, Michael, because, yeah, Trish told me about how you do the podcast on Podbean and everything. So I may have to talk to you because I may need you to go over a couple of things with me, because I'm seriously thinking that, yeah, we're going to switch to, like, a more recorded format. But if that's the case, we'll have to, you know, I may need you to be Mr. Miyagi to my Danielson as far as working the stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean... I don't know if you were watching what we were doing on the chat, but we were putting like Mr. Miyagi pictures and it's really, really simple. I've been able to upgrade the software on my computer to support it. So it's legitimately really, really easy. A little bit of editing that has to be done, but I think it will probably eliminate the little delays. Like, cause I felt bad when I was like talking and like you hear you talking, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. But I think that will eliminate a lot of like the delays that go on and also, and all that. So it's going to
be good. Yeah, because I have been switching. I'm actually doing this on my phone. There's a way to do it from the phone, so I've been doing that to get lessen the delay. But if I can get rid of it, or you know, at least get it to the point where it's not even like an issue, that would be awesome.
When we record the Disneyverse podcast, we recorded over Facebook Messenger, and I don't think there's any delay.
There's really no delay, and it actually works really, really well with that. So
it's better than Skype.
And,
so much better
than Yeah, we started out with Skype, and then there would be some issues with it because they wouldn't be able to hear the audio. Like if I'm doing like a show open, they wouldn't be able to hear the music or any like little show clips I'm doing. So when I tried it on Facebook Messenger, they hear it every single time without fail. It always works out perfectly.
Wow, cool.
And it's literally like $15 a month to do it. So it's
nice.
So much cheaper to do it that way. So, but yeah, I'll show you how to do it. It's real easy.
All right.
Yeah,
all right, that's
awesome.
Cool. That is really cool. Okay,
all right, Eddie,
so
let's go to dinner.
I'm
starving.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to shut things off.
All right. Guys, get out of here. I'll talk to you all later.
All right.
Bye guys.
Let me shut
things
down and I'll be down in a minute, okay? Let me just shut things out.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye.